first reading this morning comes from Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 26. It's on the screen if you need it. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is another one I hope you'll enjoy. I certainly did when I was hunting for this one. I Speak Jesus. I love that song. Just without the music, just pure a cappella, it really brings joy to my heart to bring that one to you. Our second reading this morning is from Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen. We're going to have a prayer for fathers right now, so if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts, lifting up the fathers and father figures in our lives. You are the perfect Father, full of love, wisdom, and faithfulness. And we ask you to pour out your grace upon every man who carries the sacred role of fatherhood. Lord, bless those who have embraced their calling with humility and devotion. Strengthen them when they are weary, encourage them when they doubt, and fill them with your spirit so they may lead with patience, integrity, and love. Help them to reflect your heart in the words and actions, pointing their children to you. For fathers who are struggling, burdened by responsibilities, grief, or past mistakes, we ask for your mercy and restoration. Renew their strength, heal their wounds, and remind them that their worth is found in you, not in perfection. Surround them with support and wisdom. For the fathers who are absent, whether by distance, broken relationships, or loss, we pray for reconciliation where it is possible, and comfort where it is needed. Be a father to the fatherless, and raise up godly mentors to fill the gaps with love. And for those who long to be fathers but wait with heavy hearts, we ask for your peace and hope. Remind them that their identity and purpose are secure in Christ. Above all, help us all, whether fathers, mothers, or children, to honor the fathers in our lives, to forgive where needed, and to celebrate the gift of family. May every home be a place where your love is known. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Now, surprisingly enough, today's talk is going to be about fathers. And it's going to be led from Psalm 103, basically. And it's, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So when I speak today, it's from 103. And it's a great little verse that really strengthens as you read it. You see, there's an old African proverb that says, the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down just to feel its warmth. I'd go further and I'd say, it is often not the absence of a village, but the absence of a father that causes that fire in the first place. In a time when the word father evokes a wide range of emotions, joy for some, pain for others, it is both profound and daring that the scriptures repeatedly invoke the image of a father to describe God. And yet here in Psalm 103, we are invited into one of the most tender, heartfelt revelations of God's character. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Today we honor the men in our community, in our congregation, around the world, who have taken on that sacred role of father. Those who have loved, protected, provided, and stood strong when life is called for strength. Some are biological fathers, others are spiritual fathers, mentors or grandfathers. But all are reflections in some way of our Heavenly Father. Psalm 103 opens a window into the heart of God. It compares divine compassion to the intimate protection and deeply emotional love that a father has for his own children. It speaks to our deepest need, the need to be known, the need to be loved, protected and guided. It also challenges us to reframe our understanding of fatherhood and to see in the very best expressions of earthly fatherhood a reflection of the eternal reality of God's love for us all. There's a story I want to share to you today. It's one of Paul's favorites. And it's actually, when he told me this, I went, yes, he's given me my subject for today's talk to you. It's a man called Dick and a son called Rick. Has anyone ever heard of Dick and Rick? His full name is Dick Hoyt. No? There's no triathlon mountaineers here? No? So, okay, this is going to come as a lovely surprise to you then. See, Rick, his son, was born with cerebral palsy. He couldn't walk. He couldn't speak. But his mind was sharp and clear. One day, Rick asked his dad, Dad, can we run a race together? Him in a wheelchair and his father pushing. Dick wasn't a runner. He was in his 40s. Is there any 40-year-old man here or close to 40? Okay, so you're going to feel the pain on this one. He hadn't trained a day in his life. But love makes men do extraordinary things. And so he said yes. That race led to another, and another, and another. Eventually, they'd do marathons together. But even more astonishingly, Dick took Rick through a specially designed, grueling Ironman triathlon Have any of you heard of the Iron Man? Yeah, it's hard. I'm looking at you now, Malcolm. It's hard. Now, this isn't a simple thing that we have with our children, they're 9 or 10. Rick is in his 20s. So he's pushing, pulling, carrying all of this with a 20-something-year-old son. It's a 2.5-mile swim, followed by a 112-mile bike ride, and a full 26.2-mile marathon, all within one day. He swam, pulling Rick on a raft behind him. He biked with Rick in a specially designed seat in front of him. And he ran, pushing Rick in his wheelchair. Now, this is California, and there's no flat roads in California. You could see, if I had the video for you, he's got a bar on the handlebar of the wheelchair, and he's leaning on it hard. He can't carry his own weight, but his legs, oh, his legs, they're pushing. Step after step, it's not a run, it's not a jog, it's a slog. Or in 1982's Paris term, it's a yomp. He's yomping through these mountains and on these roads in Californian heat. And when I first saw it, I burst into tears for the love that this man is showing his son. That is a father's love for Dick, to Rick. It's the kind of love that sacrifices comfort, energy, and even physical strength. It's sapped out of you. Now that could be a race, that could be a triathlon, but it could be because you've had bad news from the school that that your child's misbehaved, or they've been bullied, or they've done something at home, and the grandfather clock that you were so proud of is now in a dustbin somewhere at the back, and mum's desperately trying to say, calm down. This is our everyday struggle as men with children. When we come to church, we might say, oh, I wish those kids would be quiet. I just come here for the silence. It's that love that we say nothing, that we allow them to be children, that we allow them to grow as children should grow. And I think this is the first time that you've ever asked children not to go outside onto the grass, is that we allow them to be children, just as we make this promise at the beginning when we have children brought to us, that we will care for them and we'll let them be this adventurous little monster that they sometimes go into be. But it also reminds us of our Heavenly Father. You see, God does not sit distant. He's a father who carries us when we can't walk. And Ian, I hope you feel that God is carrying you right now and loving you right now. The same for Max and the same for our dear friend there. We're all carried at times. Sometimes men's strength give out, and the only thing we have left is that loving embrace that makes us get up again when we've done 12 hours and the kids want to go to the beach, when we've done 12 hours at work and we've got to come home to be a father. Not forgetting that just getting up for 12 hours and going to work is also a sacrifice you're willing to do for other people. You have a wife that needs you and children that need the food that you supply. In old terms, I know that today the mums also go out to work and they're just as sacrificial in the route that they take. But God, he in Psalm 103, he brings this all together. That as a family, that we've seen today in ourselves with our children praying for us, that this is a personal love. You see, he doesn't stumble. He crosses that line all the time. He's not applauding from the sidelines. He's running every race with us. The psalmist says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Dick Hoyt's love for his son is an inspiring story because it is sacrificial. It is unconditional. And that is the very heart of God. To the fathers here today, you may not be pulling your child through the Ironman race, but every day you sacrifice. And you're to be commended for it. Be willing to learn. Sometimes your children have something to teach you. And your children, they see what goes on. They see the things that you do. They are the witness to you showing the Father's love to them. So let us give thanks for fathers like Dick Hoyt and for the father who loves even more deeply than he can imagine. And may we strive to be like that. There may be no word in our vocabulary so loaded with both longing and pain as the word father. For some it evokes comfort, stability, strength. For others it brings memories of silence, absence, and even cruelty. On a personal note, my father divorced my mother when I was about 4. I didn't see him again until I was about 14, when my mother called him and told him some story about what I'd been doing. So he turned up at my house and he held me by the scruff of my neck and he shook me. Some fathers aren't perfect. But I was later to go on to know my father. And we had a wrestle in his garden, as men will do from time to time. And for the first time, he was a paratrooper in 3rd Battalion Parachute Regiment. And for you to beat a paratrooper, you've got to be ultimately strong. I was lucky I was working in a foundry. And I got him in this lock and he couldn't move out. So I started licking his face. And oh, he was... I was terrible even then, you know. So. But we got up and we had a man hug. And for the first time, because he'd changed, he'd come to God. He was a salvationist in gospel. And he came to God and he changed. Just as I've changed in my journey. And in that man hug, I could quite truthfully say to him, Dad, I love you. It was raw, it was emotional, it was truth. Men don't say this enough. We're men. We're strong. We've got to be strong. Any sign of weakness and the wife's going to hit us. But I said, Dad, I love you. And the hug got even tighter, and I thought I wouldn't ever be able to breathe again. And he said, David, I love you, son. You make me so proud. 3 weeks later, he died. But I have that memory of my dad hugging me, telling me, David, I love you. You make me so proud. So your father may have hard memories for some of you. And remember, please, I'm talking to the internet here because this will go out on the internet. Some of you may have hard fathers, but they're reacting to their environment, to maybe an ex-wife that is telling little stories about whatever she wants to get whatever she wants. Or he may just simply be a hard dad. He hasn't learned. He doesn't have as much patience, or he doesn't have Christ in his life. But there's chance through Christ to change and to be the father figure that we all want for our children. Scripture doesn't shy away from human imagery to reveal divine truth, but it does something more profound. It uses the best of human love, not to reduce God, but to help us grasp what is otherwise too high, too deep, or too wide for our finite minds. I'm going to teach you a bit of Hebrew now. The Hebrew word used for compassion in this verse is racham. Ra, spit, am. Racham. Which comes from the root word rechem, meaning womb. It is a term that connotes the deepest, most visceral kind of love. Love that is felt in the depths of one's being. At its core is the love like the mother has for her child in her womb. And yet in this verse it is applied solely to the Father. The Father's love is visceral. It's the core of his very being. It is what makes him a father to everybody. He says, I know that I've numbered your hairs on your head. He knows you that personally. He gives you the option to walk from him or to walk with him. He wants your love, but not enforced love. He wants your compassion, not your enmity. This is not pity. It is not mere sentiment. It is a deep act of compassion that leads to care, protection, and grace. God, we are told, is like that. This is not the God who is aloof, not a God who governs with cold logic. This is a God who is near, a God who feels, a God whose heart is moved towards his children. A young guy once chatted to me in college, knowing my past. He said, David, I came to talk to you here tonight to find reason to believe in God. But I can't get past my own father. He never told me he loved me, not once. And now you tell me that God is like a father. I had to think for a while, and what could I say? And I gently told him, is that perhaps the very ache you feel is a sign that you were meant better, for better things, for a better father. That ache, that longing you have to want a father that you recognize as a father figure is what you're actually seeing here. And it is the pointer to the one that truly made you. Then I spoke to him about the one most misunderstood parables of the Bible. And you're going to hate this because you hear it 20 times a year. It's the story of the prodigal son. I say misunderstood because it's not merely a story about a son's rebellion or an older son's anger. It acts at its core. It is the father's love. Here is a father who gives freedom, feels pain, watches in silence, but runs with abandon. A father who bears the shame of the son without uttering a word of criticism. He's not naive. No. He's gracious. He doesn't chase, but he waits. And when the son returns, the father doesn't ask for explanations. He offers restoration. That is the compassion that Psalm 103 speaks of. That's the Father, the very heart of God. And sorry if someone's teasing me right now, so I've got to take a sip. That is the compassion of Psalm 103. It begins with the words, as a father has compassion on his children. Notice, it's not compassion on stranger, not even people. It is of children. True compassion is birthed out of a relationship. You may feel pity for someone, but when it is your child, it is different. You carry that pain in your own soul. My son, my eldest, being a toddler, he once poured a boiling kettle down on himself. I was in the foundry in Fareham, and Julie was dealing with this in a flat 5 miles away. I got there, I went straight to the office, I said I need a lift to my home, explained the situation. We broke every traffic law that was possible going to get me there. I was covered in filth and grime, and I couldn't touch my son. The pain I felt. You ladies know this. You that child is birthed in pain, yours. Men feel it differently. The pain of a child to a father is felt in his heart, in his soul, and if he could, he'd stand before a gun and he'd take that bullet. You would too. I'm not denying, ladies, that pleasure. But this is a man's love for his children. God's compassion isn't random. It's not generic. It's deeply personal. In a world obsessed with abstract justice and utilitarian ethics, the God of the Bible does something radical. He makes compassion personal. He says, "You are my child. You are my child. You are my child. You are my child." You see, the Christian worldview alone gives us the framework to understand the sacredness of fatherhood. In the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see a loving model of love and relationship. And every child I've read of to study for this sermon, every child asks three questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? The father in his godly role becomes the first voice to help answer those questions. When the father is absent or abusive, those questions go unanswered. And silence, my friends, can be more damaging than noise. Secularism has no language for the sacredness of fatherhood. It offers biology, but not identity. It offers freedom, but not responsibility. But in the Christian faith, to be a father, not merely to have a child, it is to mirror the love of a father in God. Compassion is not weakness. It is not mere emotion. It is strength under control. Think of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. He knows he's about to raise Lazarus, yet he weeps. Why? Because compassion is not about fixing problems. It's about feeling presence. It is the power to weep with those who weep, even when you have the power to change it. In many religious philosophies, God is distant and untouchable. The Greeks admired the ideas of apatheia, the impassive design feeling, divine feeling detached. But the God of Scripture is opposite. He enters the human experience. He feels what we need. He does not merely sympathize from afar. He incarnates love. This is true compassion. Psalm 103 concludes, "So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." This is not the fear of terror or of a raised fist. It is the reverence, awe, humility. It is the posture of the child who knows his father is good, but also knows that his father is wise. Many today want compassion without reverence, grace without holiness. But Psalm 103 makes it clear, compassion flows fully within the relationship of fear. What is honoring God as Father and Lord? Reverence does not drive us away from God, it draws us close, but in the right posture. As sons and daughters who know they are loved, but who do not treat that love lightly. To put it in today's perspective, you know you could beat your children, but you don't. They know that you could beat them, but you won't. But they still love you. You heard the prayers today of three of our youngsters. They were quite happy. One was in tears, as I said earlier. He was a little bit scared. But you heard the love that they have for their fathers. In the same way, if you'd brought your grandchildren, you'd hear the love that they have for you. And that is the love that we hold towards the Father. Not one of terror, not one of the raised fist or the angry foot. We revere him because we know he has the power, yet withholds it. Fathers, your compassion is not a footnote in your child's life. It is a mirror of God's nature. So to the fathers amongst us and to those outside in the wider world, you are not just providers. You are not just protectors. You are not just priests in a church. You are priests in your home. Live a life that is worthy of imitation. Speak words that echo truth. And when you fail, and you will, model repentance for your children, because they are watching how you rise, not just how you stand. When you forgive your child, you are showing them a glimpse of God's mercy. When you guide them gently, you reflect his wisdom. When you are present, even in silence, you reflect his faithfulness. We live in a generation starving for the image of a father who is strong enough to lead and tender enough to weep. Psalm 103 tells us in our compassion we mirror the divine. So let me close with this. A little girl once asked her mother, "Is God like Daddy?" The mother paused, eyes full of tears, and said, "I hope so." You see, this world is not short on authority. It is short on compassion. But the good news is that our God is not just a ruler. He is a father. Not just a father in title, but in heart. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Today, whether your earthly father was a model of grace or a source of pain, the invitation remains. Come to the Father whose arms are open and who knows your name, who will remember you are dust and who loves you still. This is the God of Psalm 103, the God of compassion, the Father of all who call upon his name.